by way of introduction, I want to share with you two assumptions. These are assumptions that I'm going to make about you and your family. And then based on those two assumptions, I want to then ask you two questions. First, two assumptions. Assumption number one is that I am assuming that you want what is best for your family. Who doesn't want that? We all want what's best for our family. The second assumption that I'm going to make is that I am assuming that you want your home to be happy. Again, who doesn't want that? I mean, these two assumptions are like, this is what we want. That's the end of the road. If I can get there, this is great. That's what we're looking for. Amen? This is what we want. Amen? Now, based on these two assumptions, two questions. Question number one, are you willing to accept God's plan for your family? God's plan. And question number two, are you willing to pay the price in order to have a happy home? Now, if you agree with my two assumptions, and if you have answered the two questions in the affirmative, then I've got great news for you. You are in the right place at exactly the right time. Now, this morning I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 25. I'm going to read down through verse 32. The passage that I am about to read is a passage that if you follow it, it can bring peace to your home. I'm reading it from the English Standard Version, and the reason I'm reading it from this version is because it does a tremendous job of translating what Paul wanted said. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it's fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Verse 32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ's sake has forgiven you. Look at the passage. In the passage, the Apostle Paul says three things. He says, number one, there are some things that we need to put away, to lay aside. Secondly, the Apostle says there are some other things that we need to get rid of. And then thirdly, from the positive standpoint, Paul says there are some things that we need to do. Now, what I propose to do in this lesson is that I want to take this entire passage and I want to apply it to our homes. There are certain things in our homes that we need to put away, things that shouldn't be there. There are other things in our homes that we need to rid of, and if they're not in there, don't let them in. And then thirdly, from the positive side, there are some things at home that we need to be doing. Number one, how are we going to keep peace at home? There are things not to do in your house. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul lists four things. Four things that we should not do in our homes. Look at verse 25. Number one, Paul says, don't tell an untruth. Look at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. Now, there are two words in there that I want you to see in that verse. The first one is the word translated in the English Standard Version, the word falsehood. Your translation may say lying. Understand that the word the apostle uses is falsehood. It is a word that is very, very broad in its scope. It is a word that includes misleading people when you speak to them. It is a word that includes concealing things from people when you speak to them. It is a word that includes telling half-truths. Where I come from, a half-truth was a whole lie. It includes every form of lying. Every form of falsehood. That's what the word there means. Falsehood. Every form of it, get rid of it. Now, the other phrase I want you to see, and you got to follow carefully here for a minute so you don't get lost. Look at verse 25 where he says, put away. Or putting away. Do you see that? Yes or no? That phrase, putting away, is an aorist participle. Say, well, what does that mean? Here's what that means. That phrase, putting away, is talking about a one-time act for all times. In other words, this is something I'm going to do once, and I'm done with it forever. Now, go up to verse 22. Go up to verse 22, where Paul says to put off. it's the same thing. It's the same grammar. Put off the old self. In another words, when you came to Christ and when you were baptized into Christ, before you did that, you took off the old man. I'm taking off the old self, and then I'm going to put on the new self. The expression here, put off the old self, is a one-time act for all. And in other words, when I came to Christ, I took off that old life, that pre-Christian life. But when you take it off, you're taking it off for good. You don't ever want to go back into that life. Do you understand it in that respect? He's saying the same thing in verse 25. Every form of falsehood, put it off one time for all time. Don't let falsehood in your home. Now, if we're going to have peace at home, we have to be honest. If we're not honest, then we're going to have no foundation for peace in the home. So what do we get rid of? What thing do we not want to do at home? Falsehood. Don't speak an untruth. Number two. Don't let arguments go unsettled. Amen. Look at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now look carefully at the verse. Look carefully at what it doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, don't get angry. He says that in your anger, don't sin. Listen, there are some forms of anger that are proper and that are right. Righteous indignation. When Jesus Christ walked into that temple and started tipping over the money changers and throwing a fit in that temple, was he angry? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Did he sin while he was angry? No, sir, and no, ma'am. Those men were in that temple area. They were robbing people in the name of God, and that boiled Jesus' blood. Now let me finish the statement. Not all anger is sinful, but all anger is dangerous. Because if you take that anger and if you hold on to that anger, your unresolved conflict, that anger is one of the many ways that the devil can use to enter into your heart. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. And give no opportunity to the devil. Now, what does that verse mean in its context? In its context, what that verse is saying is that if you get angry, even rightfully, if you get angry and if you hold on and keep that anger, the devil will use your anger to get his foot into your life and take it over. Now listen. It's inevitable. We're going to have disagreements at home. Amen. We're going to have disagreements at home. A guy came to me one time and he said, do you believe this? I said, what? He said, I talked to this guy And this guy said that he and his wife have been married 35 years and have never had a disagreement. I said, he lied to you. He lied. He lied. So I'm sorry. Look. So I told him, I said, listen, Deborah and I have been married 45 years and we've never had a sharp disagreement between us. I said, our words fly so fast at each other, they don't have time to get crossed up anywhere. He lied. He lied. Listen, it's inevitable we're going to have disagreements at home. Okay, so we can't hold on to it. So how do we settle them? Let me give you two little principles. Here's how you settle them. Number one, admit when you're wrong. When it's on you, just say, it's on me. You, yeah, I did. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. Here's what I've never understood. I have never, ever, ever, ever understood this. Why we are so slow to confess our faults to our own mates. Listen, husband. You think you got a fault she don't know about? Amen. Done tore up Odell's house. Listen, look. She already knows you're inconsiderate. She already knows you're going to go in a room, make a mess, and then just walk out of it for somebody else to pick up. Amen. Odell, I am so sorry. She is just way too happy right here. Amen. When you blow it, just, I blew it. That's on me. The second thing to resolve this mess in the home, the second thing is to treat everybody in that house like you want them to treat you. That's the golden rule, right? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, as you'd have been due to you, even so do you unto them. When the other one blows it, when they mess up and come to you and apologize for it, listen, treat them like you want them to treat you when you mess up, because you're going to mess up too. Oh, amen. Somebody shook their head. No, listen, you lying too. Because one day it'll be you. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about keeping things that we don't want in the house. I don't want this in the home. We want peace in the home. Don't speak untruth. Don't get mad and stay mad. Number three. Don't hurt others with your tongue. Look at verse 29. I don't know about you, I'm having a blast. And if you were standing here seeing the expressions I was seeing, this is great. This may not ever end. Verse 29. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Well, then what ought to come out of our mouths? Only such as is good for building people up, as is fit for the occasion, that it may give grace or favor to the ones who are listening to you. Now I want you to look at that verse, verse 29. The word corrupting. Yours may just say corrupt. That word corrupt literally means rotten. rotten.
Listen, it's talking about words that are unfit to be said. When we speak unfit words, what we are doing is we are disrupting the unity that's in home. Listen, none of this is going to bring peace in the home. Number four, hold on to this one. Number four, hold on to this one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had people read that and just say all kind of foolishness after they read it. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means in the context where it's sitting. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The word grieve there means to inflict with pain. Listen, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we are inflicting hurt on the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. How do we do that? How do we afflict him with sorrow? We afflict the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit by doing that which he has prohibited us to do in the Word. Yes. See, I'm not sure. You're going to be sure in a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Here's what that means. All Scripture has been breathed out by God. Metaphorically, God took the 40 men who wrote the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, all 66 books. God took those men and, as it were, breathed into them what he wanted. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. 20 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1. These men were then carried, as it were, by the Holy Spirit in what they wrote. That's what Peter says at the end of 2 Peter chapter 1. That the Holy Spirit carried these men into what they wrote. Well, what does that mean? It means that it was the Holy Spirit's responsibility to make sure his part of revealing the word is that what those men wrote was accurate, what those men put down was truth, and that what those men put down was exactly what God wanted put down. Now, when we go against this word, then we are afflicting grief on the Holy Spirit because we're doing that which he prohibited in the word. Hello? Now, what does that mean in its context? What that means in its context is that when we lie, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. What does that mean in its context? It means that when we get angry and stay angry, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. What does that mean in its context? It means that when we use our tongue to say unfit and rotten things, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Now listen. God is grieved by sin. Brethren, God destroyed the world because of sin. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that every thought of man became evil, and that everything that man imagined in his heart was evil, and God said, that's enough. And God, outside of Noah and his family, God destroyed the world because of sin. In Genesis chapter 19, it's the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that the stench of their sin had reached up to the God of heaven, and God rained hell down from heaven on those people. Now hear this. God is still grieved by sin today. God is still grieved by sin today. We have to do what we can to keep sin out of our homes. Listen, what do we want? We want what's best for our families. That's what we said we wanted. We want our homes to be happy. That's what we want. Well, okay, are you willing to accept God's plan to get to where you want to be? Listen, are you willing to pay the price to do what God wants you to do in order to have peace in your home? If you do, here's the price. Don't let these things stay in your house. Well, what do I do? Go to the front door and say, "Get out!" And if that works, call me. Number two, there are things that we must get rid of. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Let all bitterness. We have to get rid of bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is sustained resentment. Listen, you resent something and you just hold on to it. And you resent it and you hold on to it. Now, let me tell you what the great problem with bitterness is. Brethren, bitterness is what leads to hard-heartedness. It leads to hard-heartedness. I know wives who have become bitter at their husbands because they become so involved in other things that it hurts family. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's an evil thing he's in. Now, I know other wives who have become bitter at their husbands because he's become so involved in drinking, and the drinking is hurting the family. And I know other wives who have become bitter at their husbands because he's so involved in gambling, and he's so involved in gambling that it's hurting the family, and the phone's ringing off the hook because folk want their money. Listen. Husband or wife, you can't let bitterness in. You can't let bitterness get in there. Because bitterness is one of those things that does more harm to what it's harbored in than it does to anything it's directed at. Well, I'm bitter. Well, how's that helping? Bitterness. Sustain resentment. You can't do that. Your heart is going to get hard. And when a person's heart becomes hard, they do anything. Look what he says we have to get rid of. He says we have to get rid of wrath and anger. Look at verse 31. Wrath and anger. Well, what is that? Wrath are those who, when they get angry, explode. He says wrath. Now watch the other word, and we're going to make a distinction here. He says, and anger. Now, the word anger in verse 31 is not the same anger that's in verse 26. The anger in verse 26, be angry but do not sin. The anger in verse 26 is talking about righteous indignation. It's talking about anger that's right. But in verse 31, the word that Paul uses for anger is talking about hostile anger. Rah! Get rid of explosive anger and get rid of hostility that is angry. There are some folk, when they get angry, they blow up like dynamite. And then you know what everybody else at home has to do? Everybody else at home has to walk around on eggshells so that we don't set him or her off. Listen, get rid of it. That's not gonna create peace at home. It's not gonna create peace at home. You got to get rid of bitterness. You got to get rid of wrath and anger. Look what he says. We're still in verse 31. He says, clamor and slander. Clamor and slander, verse 31. What is clamor? Clamor is the person who screams to get their point across to you. Slander is a person who uses their words as weapons. Look, there's more than one kind of abuse. There's physical abuse, and we all get that. But I'm going to tell you something else. You can abuse somebody by the way you talk to them. You can abuse somebody with your tongue. Now, when we were kids, we used to say, well, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Listen, that was a lie then, and that's a lie now. What do we want? We want peace. Who doesn't want peace at home? There's enough mess on the outside. When I go to the front door and walk in the house, I want all that mess to stay out there. I don't want it in here. So there's a price you got to pay for that. Basically, behave. Number three, quickly, number three. There are things that you got to do. Now, this is the positive side of it. Christianity's never about just don't do something. Christianity is always about, okay, don't do that, but now here's something I can do. What do we do? Look at verse 32. Verse 32, be kind. Be kind. The word kind there means gentle. Be gentle. The word there means unselfish. Be unselfish. Kind. Look what he says next. He says, be tender-hearted. What does that mean? Brethren, listen. The word there means you pain when others hurt. You pain when others hurt. But look, are you kind at home? Are you kind? Let me illustrate this. About 30 years ago, and I don't know why I started doing it, and I'm still doing it today, and I've done it for 30 years, and I don't know why, but I do this. Every time I conduct a funeral, whether it's here in this building or in a funeral, wherever it is, I will get to the funeral home. The body is in state, the people are coming in, and I will go to wherever the back wall is furthest from the deceased. I will go to the back wall and I will just lean on that back wall and just watch. Never say a word, hard as that is for you to believe. But I just lean against that wall and I watch. Now, it's amazing what you can learn about the deceased by who attends funeral. But that's not why I do it. So just a few years ago, I'm conducting a funeral in a funeral home. So I go and I'm leaning against the back wall. And people are coming in and paying respects and all this is going on. And the man who was deceased, his daughter comes in and she stands about 3 feet away from me with her back turned to me. She had no idea I was standing there, just leaning against the wall. And her friend comes in and the daughter of the deceased is speaking to her friend. And then the mother, the wife, gets up from the front row, comes to the casket. She pulls out a rose from the flowers that were on casket. She laid it in the casket, and the wife bent over and kissed her husband. Listen to me. I saw this with my own eyes, and I heard this with my own ears. When she did that, the daughter in front of me said, "That's the kindest thing I've ever seen my mother do for my dad." Why do we wait for people to die to be kind to them? And at funerals, people get up, say great things about the deceased, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But I'm thinking, look, did you share any of that with them? Be kind, be tenderhearted, and finally, he says, forgive. Forgive. Well, how am I supposed to forgive? Well, how did he say forgive? Look at verse 32. How did he say forgive? He said, forgive like God has forgiven you. Okay, well, how did God forgive me? God forgives me by treating me like it never happened. And aren't we all glad that he does? He treats me like it never happened. Look, the greatest motivation I have to forgive somebody, whatever they've done, the greatest motivation I have to give them forgiveness is for me to stop and for about 30 seconds think about everything that God's had to forgive me for. So here it is. Here it is right now. What is it that's really important to you? What is it that's really important to you? Is it having peace at home? Look, if we want peace at home, then we can't throw God out. And the only way that we can have peace at home is that we first have to make peace with God. Amen. Trying to make peace with somebody else without having made peace to the Prince of Peace is ridiculous. So make peace with God today. And if you make peace with God today and accept his peace,
you'll be able to make peace with others. This morning, if you're subject to the invitation, we bid you to come right now as together we stand.